Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you again as we start a sermon series that will take us right to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. I'm going to begin the series today with the theme, Letting God Be God. If you have a bulletin with you, you can take out a little leaflet which has the readings for today. I'm going to read the two scriptures before I speak, and you can follow me if you would like to. The first reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? We know there were 631 commandments in the Old Testament. Which is the greatest? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And then if you turn over, there's a longer reading, and I want to read it. I enjoy reading scripture. And this is from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. It's a very significant moment in the life of the early church. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I can see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. And now he's going to quote a pagan philosopher of that time. He says, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now God commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man that he has appointed. And he has given proof of this to everyone by raising this man, this one man, this one man, from the dead. We thank God for these two readings. Friends, I want to begin this morning by taking you to some places that you go to, or some of you go to, almost each week. And I need to say quickly, there's nothing wrong with these places, okay? I'm not getting at you. I go to some of these places myself. But I want them to come up on the screen, because it's very easy for these places to become temples of worship. Can you recognize any of them? Here's the first one. Have you been there lately? Huh? These are places that we go to, and often we find our sense of security and our sense of worth and our sense of well-being depending on how much we've got in that place. And the God that we sometimes worship in that place is the God of money. Can you recognize this place? We often go here, especially when we need some comfort and we need to just comfort ourselves, and we'll pop in and maybe we'll buy something that we don't need to impress people that we don't even like. And there we may worship the idol of consumerism or materialism. And some of us may go to this place. This place is a very important place of worship today. Have you noticed that worship attendances at this place go up in January? Just like the church. And the priests there wear gym clothes and tackies and vests. They used to wear leotards, but they don't wear leotards anymore. And here's another place that we sometimes go and worship, usually on a Friday night or a Saturday night. And maybe the God here is the God of pleasure. Now, friends, I just start like this because, would you agree, we are a worshiping people. All of us. All of us tend to treasure something more than anything else. All of us. All of us have something which we put first in our lives. All of us love something or someone more than anything else. All of us seek to find life somewhere. And the greatest tragedy of human history and the greatest tragedy of our lives is that usually it is not God. It is not God. It is something else. So what I want to do, friends, this morning as we begin this series is I want to invite you today and forever to let God be God. To let God be God. And I want to organize my thinking this morning in three movements. I want, first of all, today to introduce to you the theme of idolatry. I want us to know what idolatry is. And then I want us to explore why God is so against it. And then I want to give you one word, just one word, that can set us free today, that can set us free from idolatry into a new life with God. So let me introduce idolatry to you. You know, I know that when we step into the ancient world of the Bible, we step into a world of gods and goddesses. Have you noticed that? Can I introduce some of them to you? There was the Canaanite. Here it is. There was the Canaanite god, and he was Baal. Baal means master. And you will remember how the Israelites battled sometimes and were often tempted to worship Baal, because Baal was the god of the weather, of crops, of agriculture. Baal had a wife, a goddess, Ashtaroth, and she'll come up now. And Ashtaroth was supposed to be Baal's wife, and she was the goddess of fertility. And if you really wanted Baal and Ashtaroth to really bless you, you would go to the temple, have sex with one of the temple prostitutes, and this would activate these gods to work for you. And there was a god in Babylon, the war god, and it'll come up now, Marduk. And as Babylon became a world power in the Old Testament, this God became more and more powerful in the eyes and the hearts of people. And I could go on and on, because there are hundreds of these gods and goddesses in the ancient world. And they were usually statues, and they would often, as you can see, combine human and animal features. And then you could activate them. You could get them blessing you if you do certain things, if you perform certain rituals, if you engage in certain practices. And some of you are saying under your breath, thank goodness we've grown up. Thank goodness we're not like that anymore. And I want to say today, friends, that idolatry is still alive and well. Still alive and well. And it's alive and well in your life, and it's alive and well in my life. Idolatry happens whenever something other than God grabs center stage in our lives. Whenever something other than God grabs center stage of our lives. And the tricky thing is that often the idols we worship are good things. There's nothing wrong with them. But we allow them to become the very center of our lives. Think of family. Family is a good thing. It's a wonderful gift from God. How often do you hear someone say, you know, I just live for my family. I just live for my family. Family becomes a god. An idol. And it's a very heavy thing to put on your family. To think that your wife or your children can be gods and goddesses. It's too heavy for them. They're going to let you down. Think of work. Huh? Work is an incredible gift and privilege. Think of the pain of unemployment. And yet work can become an idol. It can grab center stage of our lives. It becomes the focus of everything. Our obsession. It becomes an idol, a god. Think of sport. Wasn't it a great win yesterday? Hey, that was wonderful. Hey, but it can become a god. It really can. I'm sure you heard the story of that Blue Bulls supporter at Loftus, and the stadium was packed, and he was sitting there, and there was an empty seat next to him. And one of the spectators turned around and said, why isn't that seat full? And this guy said, no, man, me and my wife, we came to Loftus for 30 years together. 30 years. And she died. And the spectator said, well, why didn't you give her ticket to one of your family? And he said to them, well, they're all at her funeral right now. Hey, sport can become a god. Money, nothing wrong with money, but yet the love of money becomes the root of all evil. Reputation, nothing wrong with having a good, but sometimes it becomes everything to us. What has become an idol for you? What has grabbed center stage of your life? Huh? I've been wrestling with that myself this past week. Why is God so against it? Have you noticed that in the Bible, the number one thing that God is against is idolatry? The number one thing. You look at the Ten Commandments. What are the first two commandments about? Idolatry. You shall have no other gods but me. You will not make any image, graven image. When they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? What is the love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And when John writes his letter, 1 John, and he writes his letter, how does he end his letter? He says, just make sure you keep away, you keep free from all the idols. All the idols. Huh? Why was God so against idolatry? Does God have a fragile ego? No. Is God threatened? No. God is against idolatry because it messes up our lives. It wrecks our lives. It wrecks our relationships, our marriages, our homes, our nation, our world. It costs us. Whenever I let something else other than God take center stage of my life, it costs me. It costs me God's purposes for my life. I miss them. It costs me becoming the person that God wants me to be. And have you noticed this? Idol worship exhausts us. It just exhausts us. Because every idol has one commandment. It says to us, you shall perform. You shall be perfect. And so we must have the perfect home. How many of you must have the perfect home? The perfect marriage. Perfect children. Perfect sex. Huh? It's killing. It's killing. I saw a dark movie and I don't think I can recommend it, called The Black Swan. And it's about a ballerina who puts ballet at the center of her life and it kills her. And you see the dark side of idol worship. What idol is wrecking your life right now? It could be something, it could be someone. Can I give you one word? Just one word that can set us free today from idolatry. And it comes from Paul's wonderful speech in Acts chapter 17. And you've got that on that leaflet of yours. When Paul goes to Mars Hill in Athens, it's a stunning speech. And he goes there and there are all these gods and goddesses there. And he walks around and he looks at them. And notice this, he doesn't blast them. He doesn't blast the idol worshippers. He engages them. And he sees one idol with an inscription to an unknown god. And he takes that as an opportunity. And he begins to introduce the true God, the living God, the one who's made heaven and earth, the one who's not far from us, the one who doesn't live in temples made with human hands, the one who passionately searches for us. And then he says, the one who has come to us in that one man whom he resurrected, Jesus Christ. And Paul introduces this living God who has come to us in Christ. And then Paul, in verse 30, gives to them one word. One word. It's a beautiful word. We've made it a terrible word. It's a beautiful word. He says to them, repent. Repent. And that word has become such bad news. So you think of people in long overcoats with turn and burn or repent for the end is nigh or dry of dry or whatever. Repentance is not a threat. It's an invitation to let God be God again. To let Jesus Christ be Lord. To let the real God become the very center of your living and your loving. It's to be set free from every idol and to live with freedom and joy and wonder and peace. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God could give to this community right now a spirit of deep repentance where we confess our idols? And when we say to God, God, you are the living one, and I want you to be God in my life. And Jesus, I want you to be Lord. Hey, wouldn't it be wonderful just to leave our idols behind here, to walk out into new spaces of freedom and joy and servanthood? Let me end. Hey, let me end. We enter 40 days of Lent. 40 days of preparation for Easter. Can I tell you what I'm going to do? And can I invite you to do this with me? And I want to do this because I want God to be God in my life. I want to follow Jesus with all of myself. Every day at 12 o'clock, every day, for 40 days, at 12 o'clock, I'm going to stop whatever I'm doing. And I'm going to recite the Shema. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I don't know how many of us here, but maybe throughout Johannesburg, there'll be over 1,000 people stopping at midday to recite the great commandments. And this will be an expression of our heart that, God, we want you to be God, and we want to be free from these idols that are killing us and ruining our lives. I invite you into that. And maybe you can think about this invitation as you listen to Franz. It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song. Just follow the words as they lead us today to God, to repentance, to Christ. Listen.
Lord, forgive me. Take my hand in this life. Lead the way. Lord, you've shown me I cannot do it by myself. So come and stay. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Undivided heart, 'cause I'm devoted to you. I will trust in you, my God.
Let us pray together. God, those are beautiful words. Give me an undivided heart. Give me an undivided heart. I repent today of every idol that has grabbed center stage of my life. And I want you, God, to be there. And so I want to trust you. And I want to put my hand in your hand. And together we want to let you be God in our lives, now and forever. Amen. And so, friends, as you go into this week, may the freedom the glorious, glorious freedom of the living Christ be with you. I need some too. Have a great week, friends. God bless you. Hey, let God be God.